What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Saul Monoli at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker at Do Not on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
Not really. This Rockets team can't lose normally, huh? I mean, I think you're the one that tweeted this. Like, it's just like every year they just manage to go out in some. Like, I remember Harden last year. He had like an amazing game. Five or whatever, and everybody around him just played like trash. And this year, it was just everybody played like trash.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Houston if it didn't end in some way that was miserable and embarrassing in a way you didn't anticipate.
Right, like on paper, losing the Spurs in six games in a 61-win team that's better than you. I mean, that's not embarrassing. But the way they lost, like. No Kawhi Leonard, no Tony Parker. You're at home. You know, first of all, to begin the game, the home crowd just wasn't there. Like, I think Travis Scott attempted to do a concert, and, like, nobody was there. This attendance stuff is getting ridiculous, man. They're 22nd in attendance, and they're a really good team. Like, that's starting to really piss me off. Like, I've been, like, blaring that stat all season because, like, I didn't want it to get highlighted in the postseason. And here we are in, like, the biggest game of the season, and, like, no one showed up. Like, that's got to change.
Yeah, it's like the Heat, except the Heat fans actually do eventually show up.
Right.
It's pretty grim. I mean, I guess Houston's hard to drive around in or something, but yeah, it'd be nice if people actually cared about the Rockets. I mean, I guess they haven't won a championship in a while, but like neither has anybody else.
Right. Like, and I went back and I looked at the previous years, and the Rockets are like middle of the pack during the Dwight Howard era. Like, and they've had better attendances at this. Like, I don't get why they just can't be slightly above embarrassing. Like, they don't have to be, like, the Thunder. Like, but why can't they just be, like, you know, what's an average team? The Sonics.
The Bucks.
The Sonics don't exist anymore. Right, like, why can't they be, like, the Bucks or the Mavericks or, like, just a random team that's just, like, you know, you don't notice it. Like, nobody complains about it. Like, and, you know, they're just loud enough in the playoffs. Like, that... Like, this is, like, the last game of the season. Like, for God's sake, show up to your game. Like stop selling your tickets. And, like, the Rockets need to do something about this. Like, this is, like, becoming a real problem. Like, I think the players have even talked about this before in passing by. Like, oh, hey, the fans actually showed up on time today. Like, you know, stuff like that, right? Like, they've made snide comments about it before. You know, the media always talks about it on Twitter. It's just an embarrassing thing. Like, show up. Like, if you have tickets, show up to the game. If you, and like, they, I'm sure they don't have a problem selling these tickets. I'm like 100% certain. The biggest problem is coming from these corporate seats that the Rockets give out. It's like, they need to do something about it. I don't know what they can do. Maybe they can try and do some more promotional stuff, but I mean, like, it's just becoming a real problem.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing, but there's plenty of embarrassment to go around right now. I'm amazed. This is the thing about what happens with the Rockets is that you're always going to be surprised by how miserable it ends up being at the end. After last season, which was an entire season of this, of being surprised by how miserable every moment was, even after that, we were like, okay, well, you know, at least they're like fine. At least they're a decent team. You know, no matter they beat the Thunder. No matter what happens, they've had a successful season. Hey, they won a couple games against the Spurs. No matter what happens, they've had a successful season. And then, like, they have that brutal game they lost that they should have won. They absolutely should have won that game, but
I don't know how. I don't know what, like, dark god the Spurs are in fealty to that lets them do this, but they just won that game anyway, and then game six, which I prefer if we talk about the effects of it and not the game itself, because I don't want to even think about it.
if we can just briefly touch on it, and then we'll go into the effects of it. To start the game, the Rockets, they have, like, a 5-4 lead, and then, like, just a few LaMarcus Aldridge mid-range jumpers, and, like, the floodgates open. And, like, it just seemed like there was no coming back. James Harden didn't attempt a shot in that first quarter. He ended the game with, like, 10 points. He got fouled out, and he had a whole bunch of turnovers. Just a bizarre game from him. Like, I think there were some allegations of point shaving on Twitter, which I thought, like, was ridiculous. Like, okay, like, I get that the game was weird, but I mean, to make an allegation about, like, point shaving, like, you better have some serious evidence to back that up. Like, that's
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's not something you can just throw around like that. Like, you better have some serious goddamn evidence to back that up. But I mean, in general, like, I just think Harden played like dog crap, and there's, like, no avoiding it. Like, on Twitter, like, I even said minutes before recording this podcast, I'm like, you know what, like, he played like dog crap, and he should have showed up. Like, that's he should get killed for this. I can't, you know, like, the reactions after the game were so hot. Like, but the overwhelming reaction that I agreed with throughout all of last night was that, you know, he didn't show up, and it was a big game for the Rockets, elimination game at home. No Kawhi Leonard. Harden should have played a lot better. He should have at least been aggressive. Harden was passive. He was, like, making poor decisions all over the court. He just didn't look right. And I'm not sure, and I just, as a heads up, I'm not going to make excuses for him at all. This is just me purely speculating. Like, maybe he was gassed. Maybe he was sick. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, he definitely seemed broken. And as people are saying, he looked kind of bad in the last game too, which he did. Like, at the end of game five, he couldn't do anything. And the rest of the team was too gassed to do anything. So I don't know what happened. Some people are theorizing that, like, he just needed to rest more over the season, but he's been able to play games after a full season either way. I don't know what happened. I don't know if someone was saying that he'd been I think it was Matt Moore saying that apparently he'd been sick for like a month. So I don't know what's going on with James Harden. It seems weird to just say, like, well, he's just a loser and an idiot. Like, but what? Like, one game out of, like, how many ever many games they played? 82 plus 11 is probably 93. game 93, he just, like, decides he's going to be terrible now. What's that mean? Like, oh, well, they're just emotionally soft. Yeah, that was a bad emotional blow after game five. But, like, is that going to make them all just go out there and be like, whatever, guys, let's just lose and get it over with? Like, I don't know what people are thinking is happening. Like, I don't know what happened, but I think it's silly to say, like, well, like, yeah, like, to say just, like, well, James Harden's just crappy. That's all. How come you didn't see us coming? Like, no, if you predicted James Harden is going to be, like, the worst player on earth for game six, I'm sorry, but you weren't prescient. You were just mean and happened to be right one time in a million.
Right. It even seemed like the players had no idea what was going on. Ryan Anderson, like, he had a quote before the game, like, they thought they were prepared going into that game. Like, they thought they did all the necessary steps to get ready for that game. And, you know, obviously in a playoff environment, they obviously watched a whole bunch of film. That's, you know, that goes without saying. And it just looks like they came out and it was just flat. Like, the entire team was just flat. The only player that looked like he gave a damn was Clint Capella. And even he, you know, didn't have the best game. It just seemed like a poor effort all around. And I was minutes away from tweeting, like, this looks like last year's Rockets, right? This is something last year's Rockets would have done. And I just think, like, it was a really random, you know, proportion of events. Like, I can't really
bad
explain.
Time to have your worst game in like 18 months, right?
Right. Like, I can't really explain what happened. And I'm still like, I watched a little bit of that game. It's pretty hard to watch the whole entirety of that game, but I watched a little bit of it to just kind of figure out what the hell happened, and I still don't know what was going on. Here's one thing I'll say. Harden guarding Pau Gasol for, like, 30 minutes a game is not a good idea. I just think that just puts such a heavy toll on him. Like, it's too much to ask for. Like, it looked like after every possession where they'd put Pau Gasol on a post up, like, he'd walk the ball up and he'd look completely gassed. Like, you wouldn't want to run the ball up. You wouldn't make quick decisions. He just looked like he just went through a beating. And, like, you know, this is all speculation. Like, I have no idea what the hell happened. Harden said he was fine. So, I mean, that's the rule of the land. Like, that's what we're going to go off of. But, I mean, it just, I don't know. I, if you were to ask me, like, 10 times, like, I'd give you 10 different answers. I have no idea what the hell happened. I think what you said at the beginning of the podcast, like, this team may have been broken. I think that's probably the best explanation. Like, game 5 was a game they should have won. Like, that's a game they pissed away, right, in overtime. No Kawhi Leonard in overtime. You know, he turned his ankle. The Rockets were up by 5 with, like, 2 minutes left, and they blew that lead. And Harden was poor with the decision-making in that game. Like, that's a game they should have won. I think that's a fair characteristic.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, it did seem like they kind of went away from their offense at game 5. I know some people are like, game 5 is a coin flip game, you lost. I'm like, well, there are definitely things they could have done better in the game 5.
Right.
They could have given themselves more chances to win. And I wouldn't be surprised if they know that and they feel some ways about that. Like, that's not pleasant to go like, oh no, we did it. We lost our chance. Like, they had to win game 5. If they won game 5, they would have been in a great position to come out and win game 6. But yeah, the only thing I can think of is that, like, they were broken in some way, or Harden is more hurt or sick or something than he's letting on, which usually happens. He's actually been pretty good about not, you know, quote unquote excuse making. You can't say, like, oh, you know, I have, like, my left groin hurts or whatever. Like, you can't.
It just comes off wrong.
Yeah, it just comes off wrong. Even if it's true, you can't say it. So we'll probably never really know exactly, like, what's happening with Harden. It seemed like it was more than just mental, or if it was mental, it was, like, extremely mental. But yeah, I think the biggest deal with this game is that it really sucks that this game came in the worst possible situation. Like, if this game had happened in, like, game 2, right? If you like, let's say you swap game 2 and game 3 around, right? So, or game 3 and game 6 around. So in game 3, they just, like, come out and look like total trash. And then in game 6, they still lose, but they're, like, close to the end and until suddenly, like, the Spurs just break away at the end. At least you could go, like, well, they lost, but, like, the Spurs just went crazy and they had, like, an otherwise decent game. But this is just, if this game happened in the middle of the series, people would be like, wow, that was weird. But since it was at the end of the series, everyone's like, how does this affect the future of the franchise? Which is so obnoxious because it doesn't. It doesn't do anything. This is one stupid game. But because of when it happened and the visibility of it, now, like, the entire, like, half of the goodwill the team built up over this incredible season has been blown on just nothing. Just nothing.
Right, I agree with you. The aesthetics of this happening in the last game definitely had an impact to the backlash that Harden got on Twitter, and this kind of pissed me off. I'll be honest, like what we do this every year with Harden, every single year with Harden. Like I feel like NBA Twitter can't wait till he gets eliminated, and when he gets eliminated, just the downpour of his hellacious hot takes come down. Like it's amazing. Like I feel like everybody has this pent up aggression about the way Harden plays or something about Harden rubs off on people, which I don't get. Like he's not a cocky person. He doesn't like, he treats the media very well. It's one thing if he was like Westbrook, right? Like, and he was really dismissive, and he was really, you know, arrogant in a good way about his game. Like it's one thing if he was like that. Harden's like the nicest guy, and he's always there if you want to ask him for a story, for an interview. I think you interviewed him once before. Like he's a really great guy for the media. He's not that arrogant. Like I don't know what it is about him that rubs off on people the wrong way, but the takes were just coming off last night. Like I saw takes about him just being, you know, maybe he's not a superstar player. Maybe he's not the guy you got to build around. Like are you kidding me? Like the guy led you to a Western Conference Finals just 2 years ago. He's leading you to 50 win seasons pretty much every single year. He has yet to miss the playoffs in his entire career, which you can't say about Anthony Davis, which you can't say about Paul George, which you can't say about DeMarcus Cousins. You can't say this about Russell Westbrook, for God's sake, right? Like, and like I guess I just think like this. There's a double standard with Harden, which I just don't get. And let me be clear. Like, last night's game was one of the worst games I've ever seen from a superstar in a game, in a elimination game. I've never seen a game like that ever. I can't even think of anything off the top of my head other than 2011 LeBron against the Dallas Mavericks, right? Like, it's the only thing I could think of. So, I mean, if you're going to backlash against that, that's fine. But if you're going to backlash against dumb things like, oh, like, this is why Morey Ball doesn't work. That's an actual tweet I saw last night. This is why, quote-unquote, spreadsheet ball doesn't work in the playoffs. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this team won 55 games playing, quote-unquote, spreadsheet ball. They made it to the conference finals 2 years ago playing spreadsheet ball. They made it to the second round this year playing spreadsheet ball. Like, I don't want to hear that crap.
Yeah, and that also totally ignores all the other teams that don't minimize mid-range shots as much as the Rockets do. But guess what? The good teams don't take as many mid-range shots as they used to. Yeah, that's so dumb. To act like, well, your team is not immune to ever having a bad game, so I guess how good can they really be?
Right. Like, and like every team utilizes analytics. The Celtics utilize analytics like crazy. The Cavaliers, the Warriors, the Spurs. Like, you know, the Spurs have his beautiful brand of basketball. They have Greg Popovich. They have Tim Duncan. Like, you know, they kind of get a pass off that. But, I mean, they use the analytics. Like all the best organizations in basketball use analytics. To act like analytics is some sort of foreign concept, to act like it's not on scouting reports before games, like, you know, like, if you guys don't know, like, before games, like, the players get scouting reports on who they're defending, and it'll be something like, okay, like, if Patrick Beverley's guarding John Wall, it'll be like, okay, back off on screens, he goes to his right hand 70% of the time, you know, like, you'll get data on that, and players use that before games. To act like this isn't a league-wide thing that, like, it's just annoying. And then the takes about Mike D'Antoni, like, these were by far the hottest takes outside of Harden. Like, you know, the stuff about how he'll never beat Greg Popovich, his brand of basketball won't work in the playoffs. Hold on, every team in the NBA, well, I mean, most teams in the NBA, the successful ones, have adopted his brand of basketball. So what does that say about Mike D'Antoni?
Well, a lot of people hate that because they hate the brand of basketball he brought in. Like, if anything, that makes him dislike him, like, him more, because they want to see guys, I don't know, like, shouldering each other in the post or whatever it is that we're looking for.
Right, and, like, are we going to pretend, like, every single championship from 2011 didn't have a heavy Mike D'Antoni influence? Like, if you look at the three-pointers launched by every team since 2011, like, it's progressively more and more and more every single year. If you look at the final four teams every year, it's not a coincidence these teams launch a bunch of three-pointers. It's not a coincidence these teams like to play at a fast pace. It's not a coincidence. Like, it's... his influence and the influence of analytics is widespread across the league. To act like this is just this is the only team that uses it, it's just infuriating. And, you know, like, I don't get why, like, Mike D'Antoni gets ragged on all the time. Like, maybe like the brashness of bringing in this new style of basketball rubs off on people the wrong way. Like, oh, this is the way it's always been, and this guy's coming in and changing our league. Like, maybe that's it. Like, or maybe just like. Or maybe there's people just don't like his banner basketball. I don't know what it is. Like,
oh, I know what it is.
What is it? Tell me.
And I could talk about it if you want. I want to go into this more in a column over the off season. But I have some pretty strong theories.
Then about quickly, this. Quickly touch on it. I don't want you to give it away.
I'll touch on it quickly. That I think all the things that you and I like about James Harden and Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets are reasons why the average sports fan cannot stand them. And will never like them. Like, I think that the characteristics about them that we think are great, all the stuff that we think is really positive about them, is just untenably irritating for most people. And it makes them angry in a way that is not the same way you get angry when someone hits you in the face, but like a weird internal thing. Like, I think it attacks people inside themselves in a way they can't account for. And they'll say, like, well, you can't, this style of basketball, well, you give it away by not shooting any mid-range shots, so you actually have a hole. So you need to have a threat. You have to shoot at least, like, you know, 10 or so mid-range shots a game. It's ridiculous. I'm like, are you really, like, furious over the idea that the Rockets should shoot 10 more two-pointers a game? Is that really, like, your whole big thing? Like, you just have a vengeance out against these guys because you just want to see a few more mid-range shots. It's not the case. I think it's a philosophical and ideological difference that people, like, are just not dealing with.
And I think Maury, I can kind of see why Maury rubs off on people the wrong way. Like this idea of this MIT Sloan nerd coming in and changing, like, you know, like
the, that's like, part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like changing the face of basketball, coming in, telling us like, oh, the way you guys play basketball was wrong the entire life. Like, and that's not at all what Maury did. Like Maury came in and with data that backs up like everything we already knew about basketball. Hey, having a star power leads to wins. Like that's something he brought up all the time in press conferences. You historically championship teams have two or three all NBA players. That's something he brought up all the time. Three-pointers are good. They equal one extra point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not. Like three-pointers are better than mid-range shots. It's crazy, right? Like it's just foreign concept.
Daryl Morey came out and said, hey, 3 times 0.34 is like a bigger number than 2 times 0.45. And everyone's like, boo.
Right? Like it's everything he brings up, like all the data, it supports the way we've always thought of things. The best shot in the game is a free throw. Right, and everybody knows this. This is something that's been preached to me since I've been playing basketball since I was a child. It's been preached to anybody who's ever played basketball before. Getting the free throw line, good.
Yes,
good.
But yes, but doing it is cheating, and more importantly, acting like doing it is not cheating is even worse. I'm getting into a little more than I should, but like, it's not about these things. It's about premises upon which people relate to sports and like their own identity, in my opinion. It's all like weird identity stuff. And they're never going to get liked. It's just not going to happen. Like the way that unless James Harden went out there and he was like, yeah, unless he just stopped ever selling fouls, it was like, yeah, I get elbowed in the face 38 times per possession, but you know what? I take it and I fight through it. Even though it costs my team points, you know, it would just be wrong. Right, like you can't unless he just goes out there and suddenly like says all these weird things everyone's looking for. It's just not gonna happen. Like what's he gonna do? Like be a defense first player? What's D'Antoni gonna do? Like there's nothing these guys can do to satisfy anybody's desires. Like don't worry, they can't worry about it. And I don't think they really do. But it is really obnoxious to see everybody just like waiting for a chance to like get their like take that Houston hot takes out for like no like what who are the Rockets threatening? Like what is the big scary thing about them? Like, oh yeah, you guys finally got put in your place after what? Being the laughing stock of the league last season? Now the Rockets were not a laughing stock for a while. They were like a top four team. I guess they really just like got too big for their britches by being like, well, we're just glad to be here. Wow, what a bunch of dicks. So it's annoying to watch it, but like I'd rather them have a lot of ammunition to get mad about, like, than everyone be like, well, whatever. Like it's like I kind of feel like this ending of the season is, if anything, going to just piss them off again and lead them to redouble these efforts next year.
And like that's kind of how I feel when I read this crap every single year. And last year I felt like it was a absolute free for all. Like everybody that's had a beef with Daryl Morey, James Harden, or you know, and that style of basketball, like they came out and just went ham on the Rockets all of last year. Like they couldn't wait to get their takes off. And like that, I feel like that happened this year. As soon as they got eliminated. And yeah, I mean, like, I just it really pissed me off. Like, every single time they get eliminated, like, it's like a red mark against James Harden. Like, we're acting like James Harden's not a first ballot Hall of Famer if he retires tomorrow. We're acting like
if he retired tomorrow, he wouldn't be, but maybe if he retired in, like, another week.
Right, yeah, like we're acting like he's not an amazing basketball player. Like, he had one crappy game. Crap, like it was an absolute crap game. I'm not even gonna try to defend that. It was bad. He didn't show up. So that's supposed to be some sort of red mark against his career. Like I don't think so. And there's just an overwhelmingly bigger sample size of him being awesome than there is of him being bad. I'm sorry. Like there just is. Like if you look back, if you can look at the numbers, you can look at past playoff performances, you can look at past regular season performances, whatever you want to look at. There's just a bigger sample size of him being good versus him being bad. That's just the way it is. Like I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings. I apologize, but it's just true.
I mean, I look at this team in a lot of ways the same way people looked at the Mavs before they won their championship, like, it really feels like James Harden is a new Dirk, where people are like, he's soft, he has no defense, he plays a stupid gimmick game, whatever, the team will never win anything, they're 2-1 star heavy, they can't, they're pointless. And then they win a championship, and immediately, like, overnight, everyone's like, well, yeah, I always respected them. Like, that's kind of how it works. Like, they just have to, like, keep trying to get better and keep plugging away, and hopefully things will go their way one of these years. And if they ever manage to win a champ, if like in the next few years they manage to win a championship, then instantly everyone will be like, yo, that James Harden, what a real leader. Like, that's, and that's just what's going to happen. And it's stupid, and it's not fair, but nothing is ever fair, and it's going to suck. So just keep at it, and it's like, use the haters as fuel, I guess. I don't know.
And that's actually an apt comparison. I actually do view James Harden in that kind of Dirk Nowitzki light. I wrote a column about this earlier this year, about how the Rockets kind of are doing the Dirk thing with their roster, right? Like, they're recycling, B-minus to C-plus role players, really, really good role players around one dominant superstar, and they're hoping they get lucky, right? Like, it seems like that's what they're doing. And I do kind of view him as that kind of level superstar, like a Dirk Nowitzki type of his era. And, I think it's a good comparison. With that being said, before we record this podcast, I went out and asked Twitter if you guys had any questions about the season. Oh, first, let me ask you this before we get into the questions. How do you feel about the season?
It was an overwhelming success, capped off by something hilarious that is not going to really matter. It's been an overwhelming success. However, this last game on it is going to leave a black mark that's bigger than it should, but less than people are worried that it will.
Right, and I agree with you. I even said this before the series started. Like I picked the Spurs to win in 7, and they won in 6. I thought the Spurs were the better player. The better team. I always thought the Spurs were the better team all season. I thought that would continue in the postseason. I don't think there's any shame in losing to this team. Maybe there's shame in losing the way that you did, but I mean, overall, if you look at it on paper, they only lost in 6 games. They didn't lose in a sweep. They didn't lose in a gentleman's sweep. They lost in 6 games. Like, I think that's fine. You beat the team you're supposed to beat in the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you've had a competitive second round series, in my opinion. And if you look at the season as a whole, I mean, the regular season was completely what I didn't expect. Like, I predicted them in the end. I went ahead and said I thought they'd win 50 games. Like, I thought that was going to be what they were going to be at.
Yeah, I went bold and said 52. Wow.
Right. And they exceeded both of our expectations, right? And for the national media as a whole, I mean, everybody had them pegged to win somewhere from 40 to 45 games, right? And they drastically achieved better than that. And it looks like they're a good they look like a competent franchise again, which they didn't look like last year.
Yeah, it was a culture year. Like, I think that really, I wish they lost in a regular game. Like, if they lost in a regular game, this whole season would have been, like, an unimpeachable success. First off, the Spurs are on the list of 3 teams you get to lose to. I'm sorry, but, like, there are 3 other teams in the NBA that it's fine to lose to. There are 4 teams who were in the Rockets tier all year long, at or above that tier, and that was Houston, San Antonio, Golden State, obviously, and you can't drop the Cavs out of that top tier, because even despite the fact that they farted around all season long, right? Like, any
right, they're 8-0 in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, exactly. So a loss to any of those teams, like, has to be acceptable. Like, it sucks, but they're in the elite teams. Like, if they'd lost to a different team, it would have been more embarrassing, right? Like, if somehow the Spurs lost to the Grizzlies and the Rockets lost to the Grizzlies, that would have been, like, that would have been actually worse than this. It maybe wouldn't have seemed worse than this, but it would have actually been much worse than this. So, that, like, the playoffs were not that bad except for one game, right? And if the issue really is they need to have more strategic rest, fine. They can do that. They can fix that. And a big part of why they can fix that is because they fix their effing culture in a big way. The culture is so much better. This year was a buy-in. They pushed guys hard because they wanted to establish, like, whether they knew they were doing it or not, whether it was overtly a goal or not, but what happened was that these guys all bought in, and they all, like, gave their blood, sweat, and tears to the team. And yeah, it ran their bodies ragged. And by the end of the year, they looked worse and worse. they're going to have to do more resting next year. But this year was not about like a strategic and tactical like move towards having playoff dominance. No, they know that they're in kind of an in-between year, but they establish that this is a team that gives a crap and is going to be able to work down to the bone and believes in themselves. So like that being said, that was the big success. That was what they did right this year. They set themselves up for the future. And that the guys on the team, they all believe in James Harden. It doesn't matter if everyone else does. Who cares about them? What matters is that the guys who play with him believe in him, that the guys who he plays for believe in him. So I, like, from that perspective, I think they're just fine. I don't really think this is going to make much of a difference in free agency. I'm sorry, but it just isn't. One game, like, play a few extra bucks is going to talk way more. Like, I don't think that anybody's going to be like, I don't know, I could play next to James Harden, but he did play like doo-doo that one time. And I guess, yeah, I just really would rather like play next to a Willie Cauley-Stein, if I'm being honest. Like, no, that's not how this works, right? Like, that's not
Willie Cauley-Stein.
So yeah, I think it's an overwhelming success with this like a loud fart at the end. It's like you gave a really great speech when no one expected you to, and then you just like farted loudly at the podium. That's what this is like.
Right, yeah. And I agree with you. Like, this was the year the Rockets just need to bounce back this year. This was just an absolute bounce back year. Last year they won 41 games. You just need to be more competitive than that. The bar was so low for you this season. This season, all you had to do was look like you care. All you really had to do was become a competitive franchise again, establish a winning culture, which I think they did, and become a free agent destination again. I thought that was the biggest thing, right? And it looks like the Rockets are a free agent destination again. You know, like coming off a 55-win team and getting to the second round, having a competitive series when you got there, I think that's... Free agents will look at that, and it's going to be compelling to them, especially if the Rockets can manage to clear cap space and make room for a guy like, I don't know, just random Gordon Hayward, right? Like it's attractive again, and also Mike D'Antoni looks like to be the absolute right hire for this team, that's pretty much confirmed at this point. Like, and that was a worry going into the season. Like, is he the right guy? And it looks like he is. It looks like he's the right coach for James Harden, for the rest of his duration in Houston, however long that may be. I don't know how else you can view this season other than overwhelming success. They've done everything they needed to do. They've proven themselves as a great organization again. And now, you know, you go to free agency and you just try to get better. And however that may be, whether you go star hunting again or whether you just try to go with the same motto of James Harden, a whole bunch of role players, like, you just try to get better. And that's pretty much all you can ask for from this team. And yeah, I do think that last point you made about, you know, James Harden resting, I do think that's going to be a concerted effort from this franchise going moving forward. This is something we talked about on this podcast, like, not too long ago. Like, I never understood why the Rockets never rested James Harden. Like, it just seems like a really dumb thing to do, like, for an organization that's so invested in sports science, like, and, you know, like, you know, obviously Daryl Morey speaks at the Sloan Conference every year, like, and they, you know, they talk about sports science all the time. It just seemed dumb, and like I think the Rockets realize, like, you can't put this much on James Harden anymore. Like, you just can't. You can't have him play 38 minutes a game, 82 games a season. Like, that's just dangerous. That's just, whether or not he stays healthy. Like, that's a separate issue. The bigger issue is, like, you know, in the playoffs, like, he just might not have enough gas. And this is something Tom Haberstroh was talking about today. Like, you know, whether or not James Harden should have bragged about, you know, not resting. I don't think it was wise of him. Like, I didn't condone those comments when he came out with it. Like, resting is not a bad thing. And I think, you know, today at the press conference today, Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey were talking about this. And Mike D'Antoni specifically said, like, maybe we got to take a load off of him. Maybe I got to get him off the ball more. Maybe we play him less. Like, and I think that's in the right direction. You got to treat him like he's Dirk Nowitzki, like a 28-year-old Dirk Nowitzki, right? And you got to preserve him. You got to extend his career as much as you can because he's your guy. You intend on giving him a designated player exception, so he's clearly your guy. And yeah, I can't, as far as the season, I can't view this any other light other than a massive success. So let's get into questions. We got quite a lot of Twitter questions, and we got an email question from T TC, can we trade Harden for Westbrook? And this is a question that came up on Twitter last night as the Rockets are going down in painful agony. Like, would Westbrook go down like this? And I do think there's something to be said for going down in like a blaze of glory, like shooting a whole bunch of shots. At the same time, like, they're both losing strategies, right? Playing like the way James Harden did last night, or playing like the way Westbrook did in that first round, right? They're both gonna it's gonna net in the same thing, a loss. So I mean, like, I in my opinion, I think James Harden's a slightly better player than Westbrook. I just think he had a bad game.
I don't know that you could. I don't know that you would. Like, they're both going to be a marginal value downgrade from each other is the problem. Like, because
I kind of think this was a sarcastic question. Like, I don't think he was actually saying, like,
yeah, that's a good joke. but to the point, like, this is who the team has been built around, and that's all there is to it. Like, sorry, even if you like whether one's serious or not, like, there's no changing out James Harden at this point.
Right, you're locked in.
This is the team, yeah.
Right, you're locked in. You're not going anywhere. next question from Jonathan Matos. What player or players, for that matter, is likely to be gone next year?
So I think there's like three players that are candidates to be gone next year just because of the nature of their contracts. First is Nene, obviously, because he's a free agent, so he's the most likely to leave, given that, you know, it's not in the Rockets' hands.
And as far as whether or not I think the Rockets should bring him back, I don't know. Like, If he's willing to take a low contract, yes. If he's not, I think you can find a player on the margins for cheap.
Two other players I think could be gone next year.
Lou Williams and Trevor Ariza. Like, I think those two, if the Rockets intend to go after a max contract player, like, I think those are the two guys that take up the most salary. And, like, it just makes a lot of sense to move them. If you, in the case that you get a commitment from, like, a Gordon Hayward or, like, a Paul Millsap or somebody, like, those are the two contracts most likely to be gone. What about you, Forrest? Like, who do you think is likely to be gone next year?
Yeah, I think there's actually a pretty good chance that Trevor Ariza is somewhere else next season. He's probably the first to go, really, because a lot of the good... If they do get, like, a dream signing or slash trade, he's kind of in the slot that a lot of... They want to upgrade. And he's... I mean, look, I'm not going to, like, throw Trevor Ariza into the Corey Brewer wood chipper.
He had an awesome postseason. Like, and we talked about it.
He's real good.
Yeah.
But he's not as good as, say, Gordon Hayward, right? Like, there are better players than Trevor Ariza available, and he is on a very friendly contract. So he's likely to get moved if that's what it takes. And I think that's all it comes down to. Like, if that's what it takes, he'll be moved. So we'll see. I think he's the one that's most likely to go. There's also, I think, a real chance that this is just kind of the team that, like, if they don't find, like, a big addition, they might just be like, well, we're just kind of going to run it back. I don't know. Some of the lower known guys, some of the Kyles Wilcher of the world may or may not become expendable for roster spots. I don't know. They have a lot of guys like Troy might be moved. There's dudes who are not as important who don't play any minutes, but of the primary rotation guys, I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, Nene might find a better deal somewhere else, but he sounds like he wants to stay in Houston, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Ariza's the one I would like take that bet, I guess, is the way I'll put it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like the Rockets need a better wing. They badly need wing depth. Whether or not they upgrade from Trevor Ariza or not, they just need another wing.
Something else.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza can't do it all. They need somebody that can defend opposing team's best player at a high level, and, you know, somebody who can just do more on the offensive end than Trevor Ariza could have. Like, you know, Trevor Ariza was good for what you brought him in here for, which was 3-and-D, and right now, I just kind of think the Rockets need a little bit more three, and they kind of need a little bit more playmaking from that position. And I think he's just a logical place to upgrade. But as far as, like, the Rockets to bring him back next year, I could see it going either way. Like, he's on a really cap-friendly contract, so I wouldn't hold it against Darren Moore to bring him back. And at the same time, if you get a commitment from a max free agent, you just got to move on from him. You just do. And same with Lou Williams. Lou Williams is really good for what you brought him in here for. you know, playmaking off the bench, having another guard in that rotation. At the same time, like if you get a commitment from another max free agent, you just got to move on from him. And like I don't think he's that, you know, important to what the Rockets want to do moving forward as, say, Trevor Ariza himself. Like, I think Lou Williams, like, if I were to rank who's likely to be gone next year, I'd say Nene, Lou Williams, and then Trevor Ariza in that order. All right, so next question. Does this last game hurt Houston's chances at landing a good free agent? By good, I mean Gordon Hayward. I don't think so. I honestly don't think it hurts in the long run. You may have a different opinion on this than me. I just think it's one game, man. Like, if you look at the entire sample size, like, 55 wins, got to the second round, competitive against the Spurs, like, lost to the team you're supposed to lose to. James Harden looks like he's really fun to play with, you know, and Mike D'Antoni has a really good reputation around the league. Players want to play for him. Players get paid every time they leave a Mike D'Antoni team, and I do think that's a factor in all this. So, like, as far as like chances of landing Gordon Hayward are slim as it stands, but I mean, like, does it hurt? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's really a big deal for all that. Like, I think if that's overblown, this will fade. This is one game. Like, this is going to affect the discourse and, like, commentary about the Rockets and the fan 3 years about them way more than it's going to affect anything, like, within the actual team or the NBA. Like, I think the biggest actual effect it might have on the team is that they remain pissed off that everyone disrespects them, and that might have an effect on them. But this is, it. Like I said before, it's not going to be like Gordon Hayward goes, I don't know. Denver's looking pretty good. Like, no. If he can get paid and he has a chance to win, he'll do it.
Right. And it's just, again, I hate to keep harping on this. It's just one game. Like, it's like they had an unbelievable season. This game shouldn't, you know, underscore that. And anybody that says it does, I mean, they're just being lunatics, and they're being reactionary. Next question is pretty funny. I think you'll find this amusing. From Chef Jr., do you believe in curses? No, I don't. I personally don't believe in curses. I don't believe in the Houston sports curse. I don't believe in this Lil B curse. I don't believe in anything. I believe in bad luck. Like, I think you can just have a string of bad luck. Like, I think Portland, like the Trailblazers have had a bad luck ridden franchise. I don't think it's like a theme. I don't think curses are real. That's just me. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with Houston. I don't think the Rockets sold their soul in 95 to win a championship. I don't believe in any of that. Like, I just think the Rockets, I just think it's really hard to win a championship. And I just think it's really hard to win the NBA.
It's so hard to win a championship. Only one team does it all each season. Wow. That's pathetic. Curses. I don't believe in curses. The universe appears to. I don't know. I don't care. I wish everyone stopped talking about it.
Right. And let's get to email question. Looking back at the season, what is one thing you would have wanted to change about the team? Perhaps minutes management or acquiring certain players through trade, such as the rumored Kostakov Kufis trade. I do think the Rockets could have managed James Harden's minutes a lot better. And like, I was somebody who was clamoring to rest him. I think there was a real missed opportunity there. Like, you know, I don't really care if the Rockets lost like another game if you got a game of rest in for James Harden. Like, if you won 54 games instead of 55, I don't think there's a big difference there. I just think players aren't robots. You have to you know, set them down and refuel them every once in a while. In terms of like they just need legs to be able to perform. And I just think Harden, the wrist injury down the stretch, I think it was a flaw to wait as long as you did to rest him. And I think as far as trades, I don't think there was a trade out there that the Rockets could have found that would have been better. You know, Kostufis might have helped, but I mean, Nene was really good for the Rockets throughout the season. I just think it was bad luck that he got injured when he did. One thing, I think the Rockets should have played Harrell more. In this series.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to piggyback on that and say that I think they should have played a bunch of bench players more over the season. I like, D'Antoni didn't give a ton of chance to all these guys. He gave more than he usually does. But, like, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of Harrell and Decker, honestly, and let them get more chances to mess up out there.
Right. The biggest thing is, if I were to repeat, like, pick one fatal flaw about this season, I would pick Game 5 of the Spurs series where the Rockets played a 7-man rotation. Like, if I could undo that, I would undo that. Like, play Sam just Decker.
Put in Sam Decker in that overtime.
Yeah. That's something. And yeah, that's it for questions. You guys did a really good job of sending in questions. Remember, you can send in questions by emailing us rednationhoops@gmail.com. That's the official website's email address. So you can tweet at us at rednationhoops. And yeah, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the show. Even if you didn't enjoy the show, please give us a good rating anyways, because it helps you find the show. And yeah, guys, good night.